And we are now joined by Northfield City Administrator, Mr. Ben Martin. Good morning, Ben. How you doing?
Good morning. Great. How are you doing?
Good. Good to see you.
Yeah, you too.
There was a city council meeting last night. It was a work session, and it's that time of the, what, half decade, I suppose we say, when it's strategic planning time.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
I was trying to track the half decade thing. I might need time to process that. Right?
Three to 5 years, is that?
Yeah, I guess so.
Whatever. All right. So last night wasn't necessarily the kickoff to the strategic planning, but you guys really are sort of still in the early stages of this. Is that right?
Yeah, but I would say it's ramping up quickly.
Okay.
So of course our strategic plan, we've been doing this, will be our third time, at least in recent history, mm-hmm. where we're really putting together a document, working with our elected officials to say what is the strategic direction in the city, as you said, in the next 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. So where we at currently is kind of what we were talking about last night related to the environmental scan, which is basically some background on demographics, what's happening internally with the organization. So our departments provided some things to think about. We have external environment things that are happening. Mm-hmm. We took some feedback from the community related to some survey results. And then we're going to be shifting into where are we going and how we're going to get there, and then what we'll do to get there ultimately in that strategic plan. So the April will be our large retreat that we have. Mm-hmm. Between now and then, there'll be some personal interviews individually with the counselors and our facilitator. There'll be a strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats document that staff and elected officials will be filling out. There'll be additional background. And then in April at this retreat on a weekend, we will be doing really heavy lifting around identifying what might be the priorities, and then putting things like measurable outcomes that we'll mm-hmm. want to have with metrics tied to that, with the ultimate goals with that. And so we will be ramping up and will be a kind of a strategic course mm-hmm. for the future of Northfield on the short term on kind of where we're going.
When we were sort of in the early stages of the comprehensive plan, Jake Riley made the point that you don't really see the values and the pillars of the plan change much from plan to plan, because that's just sort of what the city is based on. Is that the case also with a strategic plan, or do things shift a little more often?
Yeah, a lot more shifting. And I'd say it just kind of depends on what's happening in the world or what's happening mm-hmm. locally. What are your challenges? But to your point, the comprehensive plan, the long-term vision of what the community sees itself as and where it's going, what it would like to be in the future, that was crafted based on input. The timing is perfect related to the strategic plan this time around, because the comprehensive plan's update is getting fresh information out on the streets over the last couple years with the public involved, boards and commissions, the planning commission's been involved. They've been doing outreach within the community for feedback. They're going to have some actual, tangible, actionable items that are coming out of that comprehensive plan mm-hmm. that the council asked about last night, too, that wasn't really a focus of some of the background last night. But the comprehensive plan approval is pending, so we have another meeting, I think, this week with the Planning Commission. We'll be coming back for the council, so that will be a great tool to lean on. To your point, is that's the long-term thing, so what can we get accomplished on the short-term to make progress towards our long-term vision on what we want to be as a community is kind of the look at that, and so strategic plans can shift a little bit. There are certainly some things like projects that might have legs under them from like past plans. So the first plan to the second plan, there were things that we were doing planning for that carried over into actual projects in the second plan. And I expect that we'll continue to have some of that as well. So I'm guessing you'll probably have some things that are a new focus and some things that you'll see a re-emphasis on to continue what we're working on. But ultimately, our elected officials will dictate that for us.
Sure. And you're using, Mr. Rappi? I can't remember the consultant's name, but this is a guy that you've worked with before on strategic plans. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So Craig Rapp is probably one of the foremost experts, very heavily involved in Minnesota, but he's done nationwide work. So Craig was a city administrator for many years, famously worked for Jesse Ventura when he became mayor and survived for a while through that process. Worked for the Met Council for a period of time with leadership there. And then he's also done a lot of private consulting. So Craig comes with a vast experience and really any organization that does strategic planning is typical to use some type of independent facilitator, because you don't want even staff like myself. I need to be part of the process mm-hmm. related to strategic planning rather than leading it. So it's an important piece to have a professional facilitator to help you through that process. And what I really like about Craig's approach to it is, and we're trying to continue to get better at it, is have specific outcomes, again, that can mm-hmm. be measured in some qualitative or quantitative way, is really a focus that he really tries to push us to, which I think is good, because a lot of times I think we struggle with, you know, in government, where you sometimes have things where, you know, qualitative data about, you know, what do people think, is this a great community or right. not, it gets pretty fuzzy and one person might be the next. So you might still have some of that, you might have qualitative data and survey to see how we're doing, but you mm-hmm. also want to have measurable results. So mm-hmm. we have a lot of different, what I call service lines within the city, you know, public safety, streets, public works, infrastructure. We have libraries, we have enterprise funds like a liquor store fund. We have community development, we're doing economic development. So we have a whole lot of different types of operations right. with one broader business unit of the city government. So some things are more easily measurable than other things, but I think it's important to think about that, is what are we trying to achieve, and then like how do we prove what success looks like?
Sure. There are check-ins on the strategic plan at regular intervals after it's done. But within, as you move into the planning of a new one, is there any evaluation of the old one and how we did with the old one as sort of a balance or a foundation of where do we go from here?
Yeah, certainly it's probably a little more informal process, mm-hmm. but I've regularly through the council and take their input. They've lived it. Some of them were on the original plan. Like yeah. our mayor was actually on the council when we did our first strategic right. plan. She took a break off and now she's back as a council person previously yeah. and now back as the mayor. We have other people who have been on the entire time. We have had some staff that are new and some that have been along. And so I think we've all kind of shared along the way, what have we learned and what are we trying to do to refine this? And we've used Mr. Rapp through all of these that I think also helps with the consistency to yeah. try and say, we talked about that last night too, is how do we get better? How do we learn from what we've had? There was a few things that I mentioned as a focus point from my own perspective, but open to other people's. One was, we had a really ambitious strategic plan with a lot of initiatives. And I think one thing that I think Craig has said a lot of cities learn from is, getting more realistic and refining yeah. that so that, you know, we yeah. define really what is most important so mm-hmm. that we can get those things done, mm-hmm. you know, and then check that off and move to the next one. I would say continuing to improve on the measurable results. So getting better at what data do we have, what's actually meaningful, and then use those metrics and then follow through with like checking in how you're doing on those. Mm-hmm. So I think refining those measurable results. And then the third one, I think that I've suggested we should look at as a focus additional is how do we do, we do check-ins a lot of times on maybe projects that are falling under the strategic mm-hmm. plan, but there may be some areas that might not have like formal actions regularly coming right. back to the council. On those in particular, how do we do check-ins to make sure we're on the right track? Because ultimately, the council's really setting the purpose and direction through the goals and the bigger picture and defining success with us through Craig's facilitation and then kind of determining accountability through these measures. But then staff actually has the responsibility of doing the action plans, how we do that, mm-hmm. How we get there, what the process might look like, and then being accountable to that performance on how we're doing. So I think sharing back, improving upon that sharing back perspectives with a little bit more two-way communication and getting the public's kind of pulse right. on some of that along the right. way, I think, mm-hmm. as well, because we certainly, on some of the survey work we got too, I think people are hungry for information, mm-hmm. Which is great news for a radio station, right?
Like
people
it
want
is.
Information.
you brought up the survey. The first part of the planning stages, I would gather, is information gathering, which is what the survey was about. And last night was Mr. Rapp's presentation regarding that survey. So what did we learn last night?
Yeah, so first of all, I just say this isn't a scientific survey, so we didn't do a statistically significant survey in this case. We might be doing one, but this was to get a, you know, kind of a pulse from the community, a relatively easy survey to get through, to give some feedback, some questions that were specifically formed through multiple choice, and then some open-ended questions. And mm-hmm. then Craig used some tools to summarize the written responses. So overall, I think on a fairly short turnaround of a couple of weeks being out there, that we really pushed it to the public, and thank you for helping on that. We got over 650 results back on surveys, wow. And nobody skipped any questions on the surveys either.
Nobody?
So there were no questions skipped,
that's
which
impressive.
Is very unusual, I think, on surveys.
Wow.
So apparently it was usable, and people weren't like, I don't understand what that is, I'm moving on or I'm busy. So it must have been about the right length. But I think there was a lot of different questions kind of about, you know, what do you think about Northfield? What priorities? And so maybe just a flavor of a couple of those that I, you know, the standard ones, like, what do you love? These are some of the open-ended questions. Mm-hmm. What do you love most about Northfield? Which I always like that kind of starting with, like, okay, let's appreciate what we do have. And probably not surprising, small town atmosphere very clearly at the top, downtown development, educational institutions, so probably our colleges and our great K through 12, early childhood to senior education, proximity to the Twin Cities, and then a whole host that kind of dropped off after that.
I'm,
so
KYMN Radio, I'm sure, was right.
Yeah, you're right down in the downtown. I think, yeah, you were the next one on the list, KYMN right. Radio. Quality of life, what things might be missing. So I think some of the open-ended feedback that people had was tax concerns. Mm. So we've had some property tax increases, and that have been fairly heavy, and there's been a lot of interest in that. So I think there were some themes that we received, too, that people want to be forward-looking and thinking, and there was some excitement on different things that were, you know, generally about progress with the city, but also realizing what's the ability to pay and what's the cost for some of that, and then the balance. I would say that's a little bit of a theme through that. Affordable housing options. Housing was definitely a heavy theme. There was support and some questions related to prioritizing what type of development might be the most important. Very clearly at the top was housing. And I think our housing studies that we've done, that was our part of our internal background for the council, clearly says we have market demands across both home ownership models, rental opportunities, and we also have needs both on market rate. Mm-hmm. Even some higher end housing, there's a market need, and there's also certainly a market need for affordable housing. So I think one thing both internal stakeholders and external said is if there's anything the city can do to help facilitate and encourage that, that certainly seems to be a theme of importance. Infrastructure development, we did get some feedback on some questions too about like the importance of maintaining roads. So road maintenance was certainly one focus area that we got some feedback. So the challenges side of things, like I talk about housing costs, was definitely a challenge identified. Affordable housing and high cost of living, and then housing availability. So those all sound pretty much related to each other, is that, you know, the cost to actually live and have a safe place to be in is a challenge. And interestingly, on our data that I think it's somewhere around the, I don't have my slide here on that one real handy, but our fastest growing populations moving to Northfield are actually I think it's like the 30 to 45 age range, roughly, which is a little surprising, I think, to some people where you might think we're retiree.
Yeah.
But a challenge to that and a barrier to that is the cost of our housing here, as we do have a high valuation. And you look at comparatively a value of a home in Northfield into some of the more desirable communities in the metro, we're more on par with some of those pricing points related to housing comparatively to what you would see maybe in a greater Minnesota city. And so if we can break open some of that supply, that might help with some of the cost. We all love that if you have your home and you're paying a mortgage and someday you're going to sell out, you certainly want your value to remain strong.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But also, you don't want to create a barrier for people can't afford to live here, or you get priced out because costs are getting too high.
And that's part of the workforce housing that the city keeps talking about. And it's not just Northfield, but cracking the code on how to get those kind of houses built is not the easiest thing in the world, is it?
Absolutely not. And I think that it's going to be a combination of things that get us there. And I think that's where I also mentioned we should be open to all types of housing. So we're going to have some cases still where we're going to have some high-end cost housing that's built. And that's not to say that there shouldn't happen. In fact, one strategy on that might be, we might have people, we see the comprehensive plan data did also show that we have a very high cost burden for housing in Northfield for the number of people that are struggling with the percentage that they're paying towards their housing costs comparatively to like metrics that are a goal.
Sure.
You know, you think of that like 30% maximum rule of thumb that some people use. That's certainly identified. We also see that there's a very high percentage of people that have more house than they need in the community that they're living in. And there's probably a number of factors of that is that, well, the cost to buy something different, the, you know, higher interest rates are higher than they used to be. So if somebody does have a mortgage, you know, selling your home and then paying a higher interest rate, you might be it's not tough. Going as forward as much as you think. The other thing we think is there's not as much of some of the products on, smaller spaces that are available in the market too that people might be looking for. So if we can sometimes free up, might be even market rate sometimes, those people to be able to move into a smaller condominium or a rental unit or whatever they might have to downsize, hopefully that frees up a larger home for maybe a family to be able to move into as well. So those are all, we got to look at all those strategies. And like you said, Rich, I think we also have to be open to, there's a lot of research and development happening around different types of housing. So looking at pre-manufacturing, maybe even in a factory, you can have very quality homes these days that have different types of construction than the traditional stick built. And I think if you're going to solve some of the housing affordability, not the, in the lack of housing across the entire country, as well as certainly here at home, we're going to have to look at all different types of solution and different types of product homes that people people want to live in. And I think that some people are still going to want their traditional, you know, single family stick built. I think, but there's a lot of people that are open to different types of models out there.
I think
as well.
That's true as well. Yeah. What else did the survey tell you, Ben?
I think another some of the other information I think that we got feedback on was certainly around some of those tax concerns on the other side of the coin. Spending side is the kind of the what the council can certainly help control directly. I did talk about two of our biggest cost drivers as a city or any city is labor costs. So the vast majority of our operating costs are people. You know, the we had about 113 people based on the time when they put the survey together or the background information together of employees to deliver the services. And we know that we're not unique from the private sector, that there's wage inflation going on and there's a shrinking market of workers out there. Some of our positions are kind of niche markets too, like police officers that are seeing a very low amount of people entering education for to become police officers. So it's a challenge. So that's one of the financial challenges on our spending is as if we're trying to keep up to be at the middle of the market of our competitors, which we do compete a lot, like a lot of our employees come from the South Metro. We need to be kind of right there, at least in the mix, in total compensation, pay and benefit. So that's a reality that we're going to have. So I would say, like, regardless, as if we need to look back at cutting the corners on some things, ultimately we're going to have to pay people to be competitive. So it might mean we have to look at maybe what are some of the services we're providing, and that might be a solution if we want to look at ways to maybe look at controlling costs a little bit more. The second big one, of course, is we're very capital intensive operation. We have roads, we have bridges, sewers, water lines, water treatment, sewer treatment, stormwater management. A lot of these also have regulations tied to them. We have expensive equipment. Fire trucks are have gone up in price crazy, like vehicles. So our capital plan and our capital planning and our financial planning around vehicles is getting really challenging because the things that we thought we would be able to accomplish with the price are probably not the financial reality anymore. So that's another piece on the spending. Where I think the other side that I was kind of my long way around this too is the other side of the coin is growing our tax base. I continue to show the data that show that Northfield comparatively to our peer groups, even though our spending's about in the middle, our rate of taxes are much higher than it is in other communities. And that's because we don't have the tax base that some other communities have. The city has been investing in that. You have to have properties to have businesses either grow or relocate here to Northfield. You have to have properties available. And I've said it many times, we hardly have any properties left that are available. We can talk redevelopment or intensifying existing properties, which we are exploring, but that's going to those are more complicated, harder, and sometimes you have to discount the front-end cost to do a redevelopment for the long-term return. But we do have the need for some new growth opportunities, and there's been tremendous progress in the Northwest area to open up potential development. So we did the rezoning at the end of last year. We've been doing infrastructure planning. Next Tuesday at the council meeting, we're actually going to be talking about shifting, which we talked about before, but we're going to get formal direction from the council if they want to do that or not, is to move forward with our plan to put a new water tower out on the Northwest area to be able to service the hospital, the growing housing development that's planned, as well as new growth. And we're shifting, we're proposing to shift the federal money that we got for the water plant, since that's on a pause for part of the project. We're going to be extending roads and infrastructure out there to that site, but we're going to have to go back to the drawing table a little bit on the water plant. So we don't want to lose that money from the feds. So we're going to be we're recommending that that go over to the water tower to get that built. It wasn't our capital plan, but those are things I think too is that will be important that the community recognized. And I'm glad that to see that they're tying with some of the internal what the staff and the council have been saying is economic development is definitely a high priority in addition to housing development to help bring that cost of things down. And we certainly want to make sure there are businesses that we that fit Northfield well, so we're not looking for a new chemical plant of some kind to get built out there. But there are a lot of things. Northfield's in a great geographic location to be able to attract development, and we're a great community that many businesses are looking for. I think you're going to hear some of that in the surveys that we've been meeting with businesses on. We've on a separate University of Minnesota Extension survey that we've been meeting with business owners in a probably a couple months. We'll have that survey results to share with the community, but I think you're going to hear that too, that although we have our challenges in Northfield, we are a great place to do business, and we want to see our businesses succeed and invest in that. So that was certainly another focus of the that the community said too.
And that's as a business owner, that's an obvious thing to me too. So all right, anything else we need to talk about from last night, Ben?
I don't think so. Just a lot of data. We did load the information, so we basically saved it to present it real time rather than putting it in the background packet. So if the council or if the community wants to see that information, we have loaded that now onto our page. So we want to be open to the public to be able to look at, get a deeper dive on that, and look forward to our April strategic planning event where we'll be digging in a lot more, and maybe Logan can join us on the weekend on a Saturday. An unusual situation to have a Saturday meeting. But you know what I mean? It's once every 3 to 5 years. I think we can do a retreat on a Saturday and roll up our sleeves.
I'll give him an extra day off if he wants to go. No problem. All right, Ben, thanks a ton. That's Ben Martig, folks, from the Northfield City Administrator, Ben Martig.